Rumble and Roll, Truck and Tractor Pull, and the Demolition Derby. Commercial vendors are still being accepted. Call the fair office to book your booth. The Lyon County Fair, August 5th through the 14th.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, sunshine 81 degrees. It is 8:30 in time for What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten every Friday morning right here. KVOE, live and local. What's In Outdoors, brought to you every Friday morning by our good friends at Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower, John and Jenny and the exceptional crew there, and by Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. And let's head down to the lake at Council Grove and say good morning to our host, Phil Totten. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I tell you, I'm hanging in there. I'm going to try to beat the heat today, I guarantee you. It's been something else.
It has been scorching, Phil. So how have you been surviving?
Well, I've been jumping in that lake every chance I get. And I just, early this morning, I went out and put the sprinkler on the garden. And it's located here on Studio North. And now I'm watering the garden. And the sprinkler got cut or stopped going, so I went out there and I got a good cool bath when it got going again, so that was refreshing.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good, Phil.
I will get back to happenings going on here at Studio North later on in the show. I just can't believe the wildlife, and you know, much like they say, you build it, they will come. If you plant it, they will come. And but Ron, we do got a very special guest this morning, Jim Pittman. And I met Jim again. Of course, we've been friends way back when he was with the Wildlife and Parks there in Emporia. But I met him there at the Twin Rivers shooting sports event there last Saturday, and we got to chatting. And by golly, we got a big banquet coming up in Emporia with the Turkey Federation on August 14th. And that's something that's been, you know, not been going on too much, like the library with the pandemic and everything. People haven't been getting out, so wanted Jim to join us on the show to talk a little bit about the banquet, but more so about our turkey populations and now waterfowl. It doesn't look like it's going to be a very good season for waterfowl. So, Jim, welcome to the show this morning.
Morning, Phil. Thanks for having me.
I tell you, it's always a pleasure seeing you, Jim, and talking to you. And I need to get into that weight reduction regime you've been doing. You're looking good, guy.
Well, I tell you, all you got to do is go for a run on an afternoon like today, and you'll lose a lot.
I can believe that. You know, we talked last week, Jim, about turkey populations, and a lot of people are wondering just what has happened to the turkey. And you even, tongue-in-cheek, said, well, Phil, maybe the quail are eating all of them. But I do see numbers are down, and my friends in Missouri, Mark Tobin and Fred Ramsey on their show, they talk about the numbers being down. So just what's going on with the turkey?
Yeah, it's kind of been a sweeping wave across the eastern United States for a long time, and it started happening in the east several years before here because they had established populations before us. But and to point at one thing, it's just poor production, and it's been a steady decline in production for many years, way back since even before I left the department in 2015. Production was on the decline, but nobody knows for certain exactly what's causing the long-term decline. You can look at some of the annual variation, like precipitation at the wrong time and things like that, to explain some of it, but it's a little bit broader than that. The good news is I was out and about last night, and I did actually see a brood, so that's 2 years in a row now I've seen a brood, and several years before that I didn't see any, so there's been at least a little production here. This year, and this year looks to be a little bit better, I think, from a weather perspective than what we've had in a little while. So,
well, you mentioned rain, you know, participation for rain at the right time and everything. I know we had devastating floods there in 2019, but do turkey really nest down in the wooded areas, or they're more, you know, get out into the grass for their nests? Just how bad does the floods bother them?
Well, they do some of both. There are some losses to direct flooding, but probably the bigger impact is hypothermia, and you don't think about that in the summertime, but those young poults, and not just turkeys, but all game birds, the first couple weeks after they hatch, they can't regulate their own body temperature, so they're dependent upon that hen to keep them warm by brooding them. So even if it's like 75, 80 degrees at night, which seems cool to us, if they're wet, if it happens to rain during that first couple weeks of life, a lot of them actually die to hypothermia, And so that's probably a bigger effect of rain than the direct flooding, because they will re-nest. If a nest is lost, then most of the time those hens will re-nest somewhere else later. But once they already hatch a brood like that, if all the poults or chicks are lost, then they usually don't re-nest. And so it's a total loss for production for that year.
Jim, on the other thing, what's going on with the waterfowl? Are there droughts going on up north, or where their habitat is being lost, or what's going on there? Why are their numbers down?
Yeah, there has been. You know, dry conditions are usually good for upland birds during nesting, but that's not a good thing for waterfowl. Waterfowl need quite a bit of water on the landscape to help evade predators and provide nesting cover. And so in the north this year, at least. Still there, Phil?
Yeah, I'm still here.
But yeah, in the north there, at least in the Dakotas, it was really dry this year, and so the Federal Wildlife Agency, the Fish and Wildlife Service, didn't do their counts for the second year in a row because of some of the border issues associated with COVID. But the states continued to do their surveys, and I was just looking last night. Some of the numbers from the Dakotas showed that the amount of water potential nesting habitat was down about 80% from last year. I think 40% below the long-term average, and so. Production, they're anticipating total number of birds is going to be down quite a bit this fall, and it's going to be mostly adults, which are a little bit harder to decoy. So, yeah, there's still a fair number of birds, but it's going to be a little tougher than what we've had in the last few years.
Well, Jim, I'm always confused a little bit. How do they set seasons for waterfowl, and when is the best time for waterfowl hunting in Kansas? I know it has something to do with the migration and when they start coming down. Can you enlighten me a little bit on that?
Yeah, and it is confusing because waterfowl, of course, are migratory birds, so they're managed by the federal government primarily. The states have a lot of input into that, but the federal government utilizes a big model to estimate how many birds are going to be out there, and then they have what's called an adaptive harvest strategy, and they set seasons based on those predicted population numbers, and they actually set them a year in advance, as I understand it. And so it is pretty complicated, but that's generally how it's done.
Jim, can you tell us a little bit about the Flint Hills Gobblers banquets this year? And another thing, I know since a lot of the banquets haven't been held with Pheasants Forever, with the turkey and QUWF, just how has that impacted, habitat and, you know, the money's raised? Just how does that all play together, and how does the conservation groups really do their best to help wildlife?
You bet. Well, a lot of the conservation that gets done is due with sportsmen's dollars, of course, whether it's license sales or purchase of firearms and ammunition. And a third leg to that stool is dollars spent with conservation organizations like NWTF or Ducks Unlimited or Pheasants Forever. And that part of the stool was hurt quite a lot over the last year and a half because of COVID and the lack of their ability to hold banquets and things. And so some of them took it in the shorts pretty hard in terms of staffing and conservation delivery because those volunteer dollars were down a lot over the last year. So they all need our help to get back up on their feet, and the wildlife needs our help too. And so if you have the opportunity and you're an outdoorsman, you should try to attend some of these banquets to help put some money back into the system for conservation. And we're happy to be able to hold a normal banquet again this year on August 14th at the Masonic Lodge for NWTF. And we weren't able to do that last year. We did a little bit of a raffle, but it's been 2 years since we've held a traditional banquet. There's some information about it, ticket prices, and who to contact on our Facebook page, which is NWTF Flint Hills Gobblers. And there's also going to be an ad that runs in the shopper the next 2 weeks. But if anybody's interested in buying tickets for that, they can contact me at 620-704-4758. We're going to have lots of great prizes, prints, 8 firearms that are going to be auctioned or raffled. There's bronzes, games, a nice dinner catered by Opie Chicken House. And so it's a really good time, and it supports a good cause. So we'd sure love to have folks at our event if they're interested.
Jim, you're quite a fisherman too. Can you tell us a little bit about going fishing for walleye up north? And I didn't know if you went into Canada, and just how much did the boys look forward to that trip?
Oh, my, I've got two boys, as you know, Phil, and Luke and Jake. They're 14 and 11, and we didn't go to Canada this year. Yeah, we didn't go to Canada this year. The border's actually been closed, but we fished in South Dakota this year, northeast South Dakota, and I've been going up there several years in that Glacial Lakes region, and it's always been a good trip, but this year is especially good. We caught limits of a walleye about every day, and my youngest son, Jake, caught some of his personal best walleye, and so it was just a really good trip. The weather was nice. The fishing was good. The people up there are really friendly. It's a great place to go if you're looking for somewhere that's not terribly far, like going to Canada, and it's pretty reasonably priced, too. So,
well, I need to get that information, because one of these days it is on my bucket list to get out of Kansas and go up that way and fish. Jim, in closing, I know the Flint Hills Gobblers has really set the mark for having youth programs. Gib Rhodes has been very involved with it through the years, and we always had dove hunts. The spring turkey clinic was something we looked forward to, especially offering a hunter's ed class. And of course, the Jake's camp was moved here to Council Grove there at White Memorial. And I don't know if you've been involved with the, well, they have a turkey hunt too over at Melbourne. Are any of these events still in the plannings for this year and next spring in 2022?
Well, right now we don't have a Jake's event planned for next spring. We kind of lost our venue, and so we're looking again to find another place, and we haven't secured anything yet. But I haven't heard if there's going to be a state Jake's camp up at Council Grove yet. That's typically in September, but I haven't heard about that. I suspect that's probably still on, but I don't know for sure. I'm fairly certain there'll be a turkey hunt next spring that we'll participate in at Melbourne, and probably Wolf Creek Troop too, but we haven't got into the planning yet. It's a little early in the summer here, so keep checking back with us on our Facebook page, and when we get some of those events set up, I'll certainly post it out for folks to be aware.
All righty, Jim, sure appreciate you. Thanks for being on the show. Get those boys out there fishing. Now, I haven't got that article, that story yet from them, and when we go into second part of it, I'm going to tell about that young man that got that catfish bait in his mama's hair.
Yeah, his mama still lets him know about that every once in a while, so that'll be a story that lives forever. But I thank you for having me on, guys, and hope to see some of you at our banquet on August 14th.
All right, Jim, thanks.
You bet. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Jim Pimplin joining us on What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. Phil, how are things going out there today?
Well, pretty good. Why don't we go to that first break, Ron, and we'll regroup here a little bit and talk about Studio North and what I'm viewing out here out the window right now.
All right, back to Studio North in just a moment. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors, brought to you by Bluestem Farm and Ranch and Express Tire and Auto.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
Today, the avid fisherman is finding more and more help on how to make cooking that daily catch for great family meals. Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has Louisiana fish fry products. Their seasoned fish fry mix is the number one seller in America. Just a right blend of seasonings to ensure that perfect plate every time you fry. The New Orleans-style fish fry mix with lemon is another great taste. Look for 10-ounce packets or the gallon jugs. Louisiana fish fry products from Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply. West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors every Friday morning right here. Hosted by Phil Totten this morning from Studio North. Council Grove Lake, back to you, Phil.
Ron, moving down to the lake and then building a new house on the area that we've had a cabin on since 1958. Has been a work in progress, and I did put up a couple of purple martin houses, and I was just wondering about this year. I kept saying that I haven't seen them. I've known some been in the neighborhood. I think Roger Wales had a monopoly on them all in his area there north of Americus. But I did get a pair. One came in on June 1, And now looking out the window, there's 22 birds sitting on the house that's flying around.
But
They're not all my birds. It's just something that this time of year that happens. And I think they're just a communal bird that really like to be friendly and like the other ones. And I still have a nest of young ones in there. So I think the other ones are just coming by, checking out the territory. Look at them new little babies in there. I'm sure we'll hope they hurry up and fledge so they can make their trip back to Brazil. But I know living there in Emporia, we used to see big, massive flocks of them getting together about this time of year. And there, the church up on Prairie Street was one place they would be. And, of course, I see a lot of them at the Walmart parking lot. So they are a joy. You know, people, if you do have purple martin houses, they like an area that's pretty open. If you have a house up and you haven't had any activity, it's time to move that house. And right now is a good time to get it moved to a different location. Because the birds are looking around, and hopefully this what I'm seeing out here now will lead to having more nesting pair next year. Out there looking at the bluebird house, we got the second brood of young bluebirds in there. I peeked in there, and then there's five of them in there. So there's a lot of activity going on out there. Also had a blue bunting here in what some people might call weeds, but I call it my wild space area. And, of course, it is a buzz with the different pollinators using the flowers. So, once again, folks, if you can, when you get into redoing that yard this fall, think about our critters and maybe put up a little area for wild space. Ron, this is time of the show that I do want to announce our winners for our summer-long family fun fishing contest. And this is week 9. I can't really believe the summer has gone that fast, but got a lot of entries. We're getting a lot of repeat winners and a lot of new entries coming in every day. If you remember, we've been giving away prizes every Friday during the summer, starting June 1, getting in there. And so it's 14 weeks of prizes, and we've got five categories. We have bass, catfish, crappie, sunfish, and then anything you catch. And so this week's winners are with bass, Logan Schweitzer. Now, he's from Olathe, and he's a two-time winner on the contest. Catfish, Lyndon Seacrest, and it's a nice picture. We'll have all these up on our webpage. Crappie, Easton Allen from Topeka. His father really fishes the crappie tournaments and does real good, his father Ryan. Sunfish, Abigail Trackman, granddaughter of Dean Wally. They caught a nice sunfish there at Lake Cahola, and there's a picture of her will be up. Anything you catch category is a big old bullfrog. I'll tell you, he's got enough legs for two bullfrog dinners on him. I mean, he's big. So, Soren Swally, you're the winner this week in our Anything Goes contest. Well, Ron, let's go to that last break, and I want to recap the Twin Rivers Junior Shooting Sports and what we got coming up in weeks to come.
Sounds like a plan. You're tuned in to What's in Outdoors. KVOE, it's 848. Good morning.
Being country has always been cool, but these days it's cooler than ever. And although you respect the classic cowboy look, you want a style that's unique to you. That's why Wrangler Retro Jeans combine that classic Wrangler look with modern fits, styles, and washes that are crafted for today. So whether you're hanging out at the rodeo or out on the town, you can have some old school fun with a new western look. Just head to Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia, and try on a pair of Wrangler Retro Jeans today. Wrangler Retro Jeans. Long live cowboys.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, sunny and 81 degrees. It is 8:49. You are tuned in to What's in Outdoors. KVOE every Friday morning, hosted by Phil Totten, Studio North, Council Grove Lake. And now Phil's going to recap the Twin Rivers Junior Shooting Sports event. It was the Flint Hills Mall last weekend. How'd it go, Phil?
I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun, and I went over too. We also had a group there that was having pastry, And it was a fundraiser, and it was just a donation. So I went up there after the guys I was working with on the Fish Kansas booth came by with several of the samples. I went up there and gave them $10, and they said, what do you want, Phil, or anything? And I looked around, and I said, here's just $10. Just don't send no more of that stuff back to Ari, and I do not need any more cowries. So it was a great activity, Ron. We started at 10, and it seemed like there was a constant flow of people coming by the different booths, and the information there was great. So I do need to give them people a What's in Outdoors tip of the hat, the people who organized this event, Bev Hilbeach and Steve Ewing, working with Frenchy Fry out there, and it was just a great event. We hope to keep that going. And I'm going to try to get Aaron to put up a story on our What's in Outdoors webpage. It was written by Steve Gillian. And Steve, we've had him on the show. He's a syndicated writer, and he'll give you a little bit of an insight of the program, how it came about, and then also it's really good to hear from an outsider what he thought about a program there in Emporia. So that'll be up there. One of the young men that I work with as my volunteers is Carson Polk. And I asked Carson if he wanted to come down and fish with me for a couple of days since Ginger was going to Texas. And he was quick to jump at that, Ron. And Carson gets caught a 27-pound flathead off the dock. That was quite an interesting morning. Sawguy and walleye are being caught there at the outlet at the spillway there at Council Grove Reservoir. And in the lake, I saw a nice catch of sawguy the other day at the fish cleaning station. So even though it's hot, the fish is cooperating if you pick the right time. And these people on the lake, they had quit fishing about 9:30, so they'd been out there pretty early. But they had several nice catches of fish. In the city lake here, we're experiencing a lot of stunted crappie. It seems like everything you catch is in that 8- and 9-inch range. There's no length limit on the city lake. It is a lake that you can fish as long as you get an ANS, your aquatic nuisance species certificate, and if you have a boat, you need to have a boater safety thing. But I encourage everybody you can to, and of course I practice catch and release, but these stunted crappie, they need to be taken out of the lake. Hummingbirds, Ron, we are seeing a lot of them down here. I know earlier this year someone wondered what happened to all the hummingbirds. And when they nest, I don't think they come to the feeders here as much. But now I don't have any feeders up, but I'm seeing a lot of activity coming to the different flowers and everything. And Ginger has a hummingbird feeder up at the marina, and she said it's just loaded every day. One thing in closing, Ron, I do want to talk about our dogs, our friends out there that some people might want to start working for hunting season. After all, dove season comes up September 1, and you need to watch your dog. Some of them might have been in the house all summer being cool, and get them out in this heat and start exercising them. They might go into what you call heat-related stress. So if they start acting a little bit funny, a little bit lackadaisical, a little wobbly, you do want to get them cooled down. And there's several ways to do that. I just like to take them to the lake, let them wade around in there, and I'll jump in that lake with them. So that's fun, too. So that ought about do it for this week, Ron. You stay safe, and God bless. We'll see you next Friday.
Hey, great program as always, Phil. Appreciate it. Phil Totten, What's in Outdoors. Studio North, Council Grove Lake, brought to you every Friday morning by Express Tire and Auto. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto always take great care of you. And by Blue Stand Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. You can find anything at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, proud sponsor of What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten. For more information on the great outdoors here locally, log on to KVOE.com and hop on the What's in Outdoors page. Good morning, it's 8:54.
The federal moratorium on evictions expires this weekend. The White House